Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from India, Mr. Anuj Shah. Anuj, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Anuj is the Associate Vice President, International Business for Healthier MedTech. So Anuj, before we speak about Healthier MedTech, tell me in brief your own journey and what brought you to this role.
Yes. So Ashutosh, I'm born and raised in Ahmedabad. Was raised up by a couple of individuals who were both entrepreneurs, my parents. And they've sort of, always pushed me to look at, businesses in a very different way, the way they've scaled their businesses. And I think that's what's kind of gotten me or kept me interested to always be on the business side of things. Pursued engineering from IIT back almost now 10 years back. Mm-hmm. And post that, decided to choose to be on the business side again, where I joined consulting, landed up in healthcare a little bit by accident. Mm-hmm. But I think I've always chosen to work with people over, specific companies. Mm-hmm. And I think that has fared very well for me so far. Found a wonderful mentor to work for, and that's how I kind of landed up in healthcare. Mm-hmm. Have been in healthcare ever since. Mm-hmm. So worked a little bit in pharmaceuticals, went abroad to sort of gain more exposure and develop a global network. Mm. But always knew that India was my calling and wanted to come back right after an MBA. Mm. So I've been now at Healthium for the last 4 years, trying to put India on the world map.
Fantastic. So tell me a little bit about Healthium MedTech and some of the products that you have in your company.
Yes. So Healthium is basically, this company that is trying to provide access to high quality medical devices to hospitals in India and abroad. So I think we started out obviously as an Indian company wanting to, provide high quality products in an industry which is primarily, import dependent. Mm. And I think we were sort of those first few companies which started out providing manufactured and made in India products to hospitals.
Right.
Having spent almost 30 years trying to build our presence in India, we're proudly, now providing our products to more than 18,000 hospitals in India.
Wow.
So I think we're giving a huge access now in India. Mm. And, now where we are looking towards is how can we sort of build this same presence out globally?
Mm.
So we started out our global journey 10 years back, and we now supply to almost 80 countries in the world.
Mm.
And we are looking at expanding, more and more so internationally as well as within India to provide these high quality products to hospitals and helping patients across the world.
Fascinating. And what, in your view, are some of the unique marketing and branding challenges faced by medtech companies?
Yeah, so as I said, I think it's a different problem or challenge market to market. But if I talk about India specifically, I think, as I mentioned, it's primarily an import dependent industry. Mm. And so, doctors or surgeons for a very long period of time have been used to certain, brands. So much so that many of the times, the names of the products or generics are almost not known.
Right.
And it's just the brand names that are known. Mm. So I think, competing head on with some of these kind of companies or brands and trying to establish yourself as a challenger to these incumbents has been difficult. And I think that's sort of the journey that, let's say Indian pharmaceuticals had, maybe 15 years ago.
Mm.
And I think that's where Indian medical devices is today, where we are trying to obviously become a challenger to a very well-established incumbent.
Mm.
The other thing is, when I talk more globally or markets outside India, I think it is establishing credibility of, a product and a brand that is manufactured in India.
Mm.
But I see that changing very rapidly, in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And the acceptance of sort of a made in India brand in the medical devices space specifically has started, going up. There is some more acceptance than what it was maybe a few years back, but I think getting that acceptance of quality and reliability and trust is, I think, the biggest challenge that we face.
Fascinating. And when you talk about Healthium,
Yes.
what is your approach when you look at entering new international markets?
Yeah, so I think there are a few things that we look at before entering a market. I think the number one thing is what sort of value will we be bringing to these hospitals or to the users or to the patients, right? I think that's the number one thing. Can we bring in some form of innovation? Can we bring in some form of customization so that we are making a surgeon's life easy? Can we bring in more efficiency to the surgical process so that operations or discharges can, let's say, happen faster? So we are looking at what kind of value we bring and analyze the market and the current products in the market to see if there is a space that we can enter and bring in that value. Second is obviously from a company's perspective, there is always an ambition to grow significantly in a particular market. So we want to go and enter into markets where we can get disproportionate share. We don't want to be one of the long tail, in an international market. We want to be
Correct.
a dominant player. So is
Correct.
there an opportunity for us to be that dominant player? And if so, how can we sort of do that? So once we have these things, sort of clear, we have chosen a few markets across the world where we believe we want to disproportionately invest and build our presence.
Very interesting. And tell me, Anuj, what is the role of innovation when it comes to development of new medtech products?
So I think innovation is almost like that oxygen that kind of keeps medtech companies alive. If I just look at what happened in the last couple of years and the pandemic that kind of came up, what helped a lot of companies sort of survive was at that time innovation. I mean, just a quick example that I can give you there is companies coming up with new technologies to battle hospital-acquired infections. One example that I can think of, which we personally came up with there, was antibacterial gloves, which nobody in India manufactured. We developed the technology in-house through the pandemic, and we were able to support so many state governments with these kind of consumables to avoid the spread of infections which were virucidal or bactericidal in nature and which were very rampant at that time and which everybody was wary of. So I think that innovation is sort of fueling the Indian ecosystem and the Indian medtech space. And I feel that smaller companies or sort of medium-sized companies have more agility to come up with these kind of innovations. And that's also their way to sort of compete in the market and create a name for themselves.
Very interesting. And if it's not confidential, what are some of the latest advancements in surgical technologies that your company is involved in?
Yeah, so I think we have three very sort of up-and-coming R&D centers that we've developed, and they're focused on very different types of materials. So one of the R&D centers focuses exclusively on metallurgical innovations. So we are pioneers in sort of developing surgical needles, and how do we sort of use that expertise to come up with more metallurgy-based products? We have an R&D center focused on textile-based products. So an example there could be a novel 3D hydrocellular wound dressings that we have very recently launched in the market, which we've now secured patents on in major parts of the world, so including the US, Japan, Europe, etc., where it's an antibacterial wound dressing, which is right now sort of not available in the market or available to a very less extent. And what's the current usage methodology is a gauze and some disinfectant or sort of a tape with a cotton gauze that is used post-surgery. And what we've brought into the market is this very novel wound dressing, which is not only antibacterial, but is also avoiding the application of new sort of bandages and tapes day in, day out, reducing cost, reducing effort, reducing, you know, patients' issues with, you know, taking a bath, etc. So that's sort of an innovation which has come out in-house through our R&D. And then obviously the last piece is our entire, you know, range of arthroscopy products, which are completely developed in-house, you know, through innovation. And every sort of product that exists today in the market, we believe that there is a differentiation that we have, and we've taken about 56 patents on that portfolio, which we are, you know, which we are at the moment promoting only in India. We're going to also start selling this internationally later this year. So I think, you know, a lot of innovation across verticals that we've been able to achieve. And I think that's what is also our differentiator now in the market.
Fantastic. Thank you. The other challenge that has often been seen when it comes to healthcare is affordability. You know, I remember in the old days, everything used to be imported till organizations like Healthium came and started manufacturing medical equipment here. How do you address the question of affordability and accessibility when it comes to developing countries? And I'm asking you this because you are head of international business.
Yes. So I think that's a very, very important, you know, sort of cause that we also champion at Healthium. I think, you know, access comes first and then the affordability piece as well. I think for us, you know, when we looked at medical consumables and countries like emerging countries, like, you know, certain Southeast Asian markets or African markets, where we have a very strong presence now, we noticed that oftentimes the products that were provided to, you know, ministries of health through the tendering processes in these very small African countries were, you know, not of the best quality, or they were not, you know, being sold to the specifications that were being committed in the tendering processes by many companies across the world. And I think what we've tried to do is try to engage with a lot of these ministries of health, where we created an advisory board of sorts of doctors to bring in, you know, some sort of a testing process in addition to the tendering and the pricing and the certifications that they were requesting for, to have, you know, a certain bar of quality. Next, for that range of quality, we decided that we will be able to sort of match the pricing that they were, you know, getting from, let's say, various parts of the world. So first, what we wanted to do was provide access to a higher quality product.
Right.
So because for us, I think access is just not limited to providing the product, but providing a good quality product. And I think then the second part was around the affordability, where, you know, we said, we don't want you to increase your budgets. We don't want you to spend more, but we want to provide you a better quality product in that same budget.
Right.
The other way that we support a lot of these nations is also by working with very large aid organizations, like the World Health Organization or the UNICEF, where, you know, we supply our medical devices, which are then sort of provided to these countries in the form of aid. And so that's also how we sort of support, you know, providing greater access to countries which need it.
Very interesting. The other challenge that often I've seen is that when it comes to healthcare, every country has its own set of regulations and regulatory approvals. How do you manage so many regulatory compliances? Because you told me that you are in over 80 countries.
Yes. So I think, you know, getting that regulatory competency is extremely important to that access piece and getting that reach. I think we've been lucky to have some really solid talent in the regulatory team at Healthium, which has been able to, you know, secure certifications such as the US FDA or, you know, very recently the EU MDR, which is the CE certificate where we all medical devices have transitioned to. And I think if my knowledge serves me right, we're probably the only, you know, class three or high risk device manufacturer in this part of the world, which has an EU MDR. Which required us to invest in, you know, clinical trials, etc. So I think it's a combination of a good team, you know, a solid leadership which was willing to invest in, you know, clinical trials, clinical data generation to be ahead of the curve in getting these kind of regulatory certifications, which then enables people like me to sort of expand our reach. because I feel like without the regulatory backing, it is extremely difficult to, you know, expand internationally.
Correct.
And I think we've been fortunate there compared to, you know, some of our competitors.
Correct. Well said. Great response. Thank you. The other question that I had, Anuj, for you is that, you know, given the incredible advancement of technology and so much available through AI, ML, and so many other things that we are talking about, how do you envision the future of surgical procedures and post-surgical care?
So that's a very interesting question, Ashutosh. I think, things are changing even before we sort of understand them fully. I can put it that way. I think today, and you know, I get a little bit more information and understanding also because sort of my wife's family also comes from that surgical background, and we have some surgeons in the house, so we also understand from them what they're doing. And you know, I not only hear about robotics bringing in more precision, more flexibility in a surgeon's life, but also about AI and sort of virtual reality or augmented reality being used for doctor training now, or surgeon training, right? And surgeons being able to see procedures happening in a very different part of the world. So I think not only is that changing how surgeons are going to perform procedures, but I also feel like as medtech companies, we will have to innovate a lot more in serving needs of these surgeons who are now sort of going to be, much better equipped, if you will, in performing these surgeries. And we have to up our innovation game even more to sort of support these advancements that are happening in, you know, an HCP's life.
Great response. My next question is to you about, you know, that there are always challenges that come relating to ethical considerations when it comes to healthcare companies. What are some of the steps, Healthium is taking when it comes to handling ethical considerations when developing and marketing your products?
Yeah, I think that's a very important aspect of our business. And I think there are two things that, we do here at Healthium. The number one thing is, often ethical decisions are driven from the top down in most organizations. I think, the lines are always drawn by leadership, and that's what sort of percolates into the organization.
Okay.
And I think we are fortunate to be in a company where, the leadership has made it absolutely clear what ethical boundaries, as an organization, we are absolutely not willing to cross. And we're okay to forego business if it comes down to that. But ethics and compliance are absolutely paramount. And, that has been said through example on multiple occasions, number one, by the leadership team. So I think that's one, messaging top down percolating into the organization time and again on the importance of being compliant, being ethical. I think number two is the more tactical aspect of it as to how do you sort of bring it into the day to day and into very small minor activities tactically, right? Marketing activities. Sorry. So I think there, we have a very strong team of compliance and clinical affairs, which is involved in every marketing activity, and the procedures that we've developed internally before any marketing activity or any HCP engagement gets executed, to sort of have that check and balance in the system, to make sure that as a company, we remain 100% compliant. And this is absolutely a no tolerance area for us as an organization. So I think we are very proud of it, honestly, to say that, this is something we do. And it oftentimes, stifles us a little bit from growing as fast as we would like to. But I think we are okay growing a couple of percentage points lower if that means we believe in the long run, this will be a lot more sustainable, growth.
Well said.
I think that's just a company philosophy, I think.
No, that's fantastic. Fantastic. So I have time for two more questions for you.
Yes.
You just referred to sustainable. So that was what my question is going to be about. A lot of healthcare companies are often blamed for, and I'm using a strong word, for not looking at sustainability of their products.
Right.
How do you handle the sustainability and the environmental impact of your products?
So that's an area, Ashutosh, that we've started investing in, more recently. I'll be honest there. I think, it's more about starting to look at Whether in our packaging we can reduce our environmental impact, whether in our plants we can reduce our environmental impact. And I can tell you that I am aware today, despite the fact that I'm not actively involved in these projects, but even being in sales, I'm aware of a lot of projects, for instance, moving to solar or renewable energy in our factories, reducing the layers of plastic packaging that we have in our products when we sell them. Believe it or not, a lot of our clients who are based in the US and Europe and many other countries actually prefer our products because, we are able to spell out the reduction in the environmental impact that we are bringing day in, day out. And this is something that they actively care about and they talk to us about. So I think, oftentimes this is seen as an area which is just a sort of a cost center. But I think that in our case, we are starting to see this as, like that triple bottom line impact where, we are literally seeing our business also increase because we are focusing on sustainability and environmental impact. And that sort of has created a virtuous cycle where we now want to invest even more because, our customers also care about it. And I think that entire ecosystem coming together is helping us invest more in sustainability, whether it comes to packaging or our factories.
Well said. And my last question to you, Anuj, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. And this comes back to you now, Anuj Shah. You've been so successful in your own career, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of our young viewers and listeners to take away when they think about your own journey, which is still very, very young also?
Yes, I was just going to say that, I'm still just getting started.
Absolutely.
I feel privileged to answer this question, Ashutosh. But I think if I have to look back on my journey, I think the number one thing, and I mentioned this earlier, that stands out to me is I always have chosen people over opportunities, and whether that is when selecting my managers, mentors, or even my team members. I think I've always relied on people more than
Correct.
Opportunities or companies.
Correct.
I think the second thing is, for me, is that hard work almost always trumps, every sort of market situation, if you will.
Yeah.
And in sales, it's always a factor of your own effort plus the market that gets
Correct.
You the results ultimately.
Mm.
But I feel that in the long run, over a very long period of time, hard work and effort almost always trumps everything else, because everything else kind of balances out.
Correct.
Over the long run. And the last thing that I would say is that I think, over the course of my journey, I have realized that, the best learnings that have come from me and my highest professional growth, if you will, the spurts, have come more so in times when I have failed than when I have succeeded.
Right.
And I have learned a lot more in those times. And a learning curve is never almost linear. It increases suddenly and then it sort of flattens off a little bit, and then again there's a journey. That's what I believe. And I think those spurts in learning come more often than not from failures than from successes. So I would say that don't get bogged down by the failures. They are most of the time opportunities that you will look back at and say, I learned the most here.
Well said. Well said. And on that note, Anuj, and your three amazing lessons, which is choose people over opportunities. Second, you said hard work and effort trumps everything. And the third one is best learning is from failure. Thank you so much for talking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me about so many different aspects of Healthium and all your company's philosophies on various aspects.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Yeah, thanks again for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.